You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Invasion of Privacy. I'm Kate Wolf.
And I'm Joe Santagato. And today, Kate?
Today, we don't have a guest.
We don't.
It's just me and you.
We're lonely.
But I have some, I definitely have a lot to talk about. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is I went to a comedy club holiday party the other day.
Mm.
And the moment I walked in, I'm not going to say his name, but the moment I walked in, a comic dropped to his knees and kissed me over the pants on my vagina.
Why on earth would anyone?
He was wasted. He was already just gone.
In my drunkest state, I'm not kissing Jean vagina.
That's okay. That's the thing. And he like, as soon as he did it, he looked at me like, oh, fuck. You know, I can't believe I just did that. And he's like, I'm so sorry. I'm just really drunk. And that's the thing I was thinking about on my ride home. I was like, no matter how drunk I ever get, I've never groped anyone. You know, so what someone
I can't
does,
say that I haven't done that.
Oh, really?
But like, not like a super weird, like just walk up to a stranger, grab her tit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't
do that. He dropped to his knees and kissed me over my jeans on my vagina.
Yeah, that's way worse than anything I've ever done.
I was in shock. I was just like, who the hell does that?
I've been like drunk in like a club or whatever, and I'm dancing with some girl and probably like grabbed her butt or something.
First of all, it's a little different and there's a little more context there.
Yeah. Like, no, I've never just walked up to someone like, hey, and just like grabbed their shit or kissed their vaginas.
It was annoying. It was annoying to say the least, but it really kind of like shook me up. And then I called Tim, who was coming to the party with Mike Cannon.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tim was like, well, I might pull him aside and talk to him. And then I got stressed because I was like, what's going to happen? And it ended up being fine, but it was one of the weirder experiences.
Very strange.
And you know what? As I've gotten more and more spiritual, it's been harder to go to party situations like that. You know,
why?
With like a lot of drunk, especially comics, because comics have a lot of stuff going on. It's been hard. It's so chaotic feeling when you walk into those kinds of parties. And it just, I don't know, it doesn't feel great for me sometimes walking into those situations.
I mean, being sober around drunk people is the worst. Like, oh, God. Whenever I'm, like, sober, if I'm, like, driving or whatever, and I just show up to a party and, like, everyone's drunk, I just hate it. I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, and a lot of times I'm okay being the only sober person because I'm the sober person almost all the time. But in a party, I don't know. In the environment last night, I was just like, I need to get out of here. Especially when I walked in and that happened. It was just not feeling it, you know?
I'm trying to picture that happening, and it's just the weirdest thing. Why out of all things, like, that would be it?
He's normally just like such a polite, sweet person, and I wonder. I'm like, huh, what aspects of yourself are you suppressing or holding in that as soon as you get drunk, you want to kiss a girl on the vagina over her jeans? I don't know. Like, there has to be something he's holding in when he's sober to do that. But
maybe he's just
because, you know, like a guy who gets drunk and then starts punching shit or gets really angry, he's holding in anger during the day. That's why that stuff's coming out, because his inhibitions are being lowered. So this guy, you know, he must have like a sexual thing going on that he's repressing. And then when he's drunk, he's just like trying to let his freak leak out or something.
Maybe he doesn't have too many opportunities to let that freak flag fly.
Freak flag. Yeah. Freak
so
flag.
So he's like, I'm going to get drunk and start kissing Jean vagina.
Yeah. It's just, how can you even get anything out of kissing a girl's vagina
over
her jeans?
I wonder what he thought. Like,
maybe
he thought
it was
best case scenario.
He was going to be funny. Like I'm sure he didn't really know what he was about to do. And he's like, this could be funny.
Do you guys have that kind of relationship?
No.
No, but like, are you like friends like that? Like if like
we were always
like,
cool.
Is he like, am I like if I did it? You know what I mean? Like, is that like how close you guys are?
No. I don't know him like I know you. But even if you, I mean, if you did that, I would probably knee you in the. I'd break your nose.
I would be expecting a super punch in the.
Yeah,
back. Yeah.
That's why I looked at him with like a shocked face. Like, I'm like, did you?
And like, you don't even know him like that.
Because
well?
I think I can be John. Do you think I'm intimidating at all? No.
Kate, you're a fucking dandelion.
Fuck off! I'm scary. I looked at him like, are you kidding? I'm scary. And he looked at me just like, he just looked at me like, fuck, what did I just do? Like, you could tell in his brain, he was like, did I just kiss Kate's vagina over her jeans? Like, he definitely did not plan that out. But
I'm trying to think, though. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, best case scenario, what happens in that situation? Like, you kiss someone.
It was almost
just like,
you know, like when a guy, like, in a dorky way, like, drops down and kisses the girl on her hand. Like, yeah. It almost was like he was trying to do that, but in, like, a funnier way. He took it to another level, but to, like, an inappropriate.
Oh, I see.
Like, that's the feeling I got. But I was just kind of like, no. Like, my initial reaction was just like, no, no.
Might want to scrap that one from the joke book.
Yeah. So it was an interesting night. And then anyway, I want to get into. So last week, which I know, first of all, John's here, everyone. Can you even, no one would be able to hear you if you did talk. If you want to set something
faintly.
Up.
Faintly.
Yeah. So, okay. So last week after we recorded, I sat in. I sat and watched Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole do their podcast,
right.
And I decided to, last minute, like spur of the moment, take half of an edible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, and it looks all innocent, like it's like a jelly drop, like one of those gumdrop candies, that's what it looks like.
Right.
Okay? So I'm like, and I've done, like I've had like a weed cookie before, and it was fine. Like I was like, oh, this is gonna be so fun. So I took half. Dude, okay, so they were doing two in a row, and the first one, like, I was following along for about 25 minutes of their podcast, and I was loving it. Like, I was loving life, and I was just like, they're funny, and then it started really kicking in, so I took out my phone, and I was, like, writing all these thoughts, and I was writing thoughts about all of them, too, because, like, I could see things so clearly. I could see all their defense mechanisms, and I'm writing it down. Still having fun. Now it starts really hitting me, and they start their second one. And they're like, they can see how fucked up I am. So like, Kate, come sit with us. So they start talking, and I started going to this place that was like, I've never been to. Like, I felt like I was tripping on shrooms, but having a bad trip. Okay. And I just started, the things I was experiencing were not pleasant. Like, I was experiencing that we were all trapped in this like love game.
What the fuck is a love game?
It's like we're all trying to ascend and raise our consciousness as quickly as we can.
Oh,
but
my
like,
God. Do you have anything normal happen to you ever? Why can't it just be like a gorilla runs by and scares the shit out of you? It's always got to be some soul shit.
It was awful. It was, I felt like I could see the infinity sign over and over. And I felt like I was on a roller coaster and I was about to vomit. Anyway, so I'm starting to panic. And they're doing their podcast. And then Dave looks at me and he's like, Kate, are you doing okay over there? And I went up to the microphone. And I was like, I am not okay. And they were like, wait, what? And I was like, I am not okay. And like, and I looked at Tim's face and I did this look where I was like, dude, I am not fucking okay. Do you know what I mean? Like, I had that look and I was not okay. Okay. So they're like, do you need us to stop the recording? And I was like, yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So they stopped?
They stopped. Okay.
And you were that fucking bad?
Dude, that was just the beginning. So then Tim takes me into the green room. And at this point, I'm seeing Sauron's eye from Lord of the Rings, like the eye of God. Okay.
What the fuck?
So I'm seeing the eye of God. And it's staring at me. And I'm going on this loop, this never-ending loop, which is life. Okay? I'm living and dying, living and dying. I feel like I'm leaving my body. I swear to God, I thought I was losing my fucking mind.
Only this shit happens to you. It's
Tim
crazy.
Is, like, keeping me... Like, first of all, Tim took one, so he's high as fuck having to deal with this. And he's looking at me like you give me a look like, come on, Kate, keep your shit together. And I'm fucking trying. And this is Tim's. Okay, this is how Tim does his impression.
Tim took a full one, though, by the way.
Did he take a full one?
So did Mike.
No, Mike took a full one. Tim took a half. Thank God.
Oh, yeah, you guys split a half, and then he took a full. Mike
took a full, smoked more blunts, and was. Mike, I don't know how Mike's alive.
He's a machine.
The fact that Mike can do that. But I looked at Mike when they were all doing that before I started spiraling through the galaxy. I looked at Mike, and I was like, you guys love being terrified. Like, because it's terrifying to take that shit and then record. And they just do that shit all the time. And I was like, you guys love that feeling. They love that thrill.
Or you overthink everything.
I mean, I clearly have issues, Joe.
Yeah.
But so this is Tim's impression of what I sounded like. And this went on for about 3 hours. First of all, we went to drive home. I was having deja vu. We were not moving. Every street was the same fucking street. Okay? And I kept looking at Tim like I was like, we're not moving. Time is frozen. We've been here before. And he's like, we're going home. We're going home. And I was like, home doesn't exist. It's just an energetic whatever.
I'm so glad that I don't plan on ever being not sober with you ever.
Not a great. This is why I very rarely drink, very rarely get high.
Because you see the eye of Sauron,
exactly.
Whoever the fuck that is.
Exactly. So wait, so this is Tim's impression of what I sounded like, which is true. This is what I sounded like. He goes, this is what I was, this is what it went to. 3 hours starting in the car ride. It was up, down, in, out, so fast, good as bad, suppression, good, too fast, oh my God, an angel, I see an angel. That's what I was sounding like for about 3 hours. Tim was like, I thought I lost you.
What the fuck goes on? You know what I think you did? You are so all in with this spiritual shit that the slightest bit of not balance in your life is going to fucking spiral you into all this shit, and you're like, okay, I'm a little high, so that means I'm not in my body, and there's a fucking there's a ghost, and you're just thinking all this shit, and you make it way worse than it actually is. You just stress yourself out.
No, dude,
I put all these fucking things in your mind.
I saw some shit that I can't unsee. Okay?
Isn't it impossible to trip like that from fucking marijuana?
Nope. Weed is also a hallucinogenic. If you take enough, my body is very sensitive, and I spiraled. And the Good next Lord. Day, Tim and I both called into this radio show with this guy. He's like this like really spiritual whatever dude. And I called and talked to him about it. And he's like, you went too fast. He was like, you saw some stuff that you weren't ready to see. That's why you have to respect the process and take this thing slowly. He's like, you did see the eye of God, which you weren't ready to see. He's like, that would be like you being in the woods at night and hearing some like owls or something and being like, oh my God, because you're not ready yet. You're in the dark still. He's like, you're not ready to go as fast as you did. So he told me to stay away from alcohol and any sort of substances.
This is out of control.
It was insane.
There's
but
like
it's
16-year-old kids in high school who are just downing edibles and you're over here singing the fucking
Okay, so this is what I want to say, okay?
After
our last episode was about shrooms, right?
Yeah, right.
And I feel like, hey, if you want to go do shrooms and you feel like they're calling you, by all means, do whatever you think is best. But I'd also like to say, because when I did do shrooms years ago, I had a similar horrific, scary experience. I think you should all be aware that it's really intense. And if you're not ready to see some of the things that you're going to see, it can be really frightening. And I think you can spiral into a really dark place and hopefully you'll get out. But I guess the main thing is, I think those things are shortcuts. And that doesn't mean it's bad, but there's a thing about taking shortcuts. I think it's anything that you take a shortcut with. Like if you want to lose weight, right? And you're like, oh, I want to lose weight real quick, and you do like a fast. That's not necessarily the healthiest way to get to a place you want to be. You know, so if you want to do those things, psychedelics, by all means, go ahead. They can serve as a medicine. But there's also something to really respecting the process and getting there through meditation, yoga, reading, experimenting with energy work. I think those are, they're not as exciting or thrilling, but there's still ways of getting there while really respecting the process and kind of like, it's like, just enjoying every level that you're at without trying to, you know, bypass levels. You have to really feel each moment you're in. Because I think when you take a shortcut, you're trying to avoid feeling. It's a way of numbing you when you take shortcuts.
I guess so.
How do you feel about shortcuts?
I don't know. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're bad. I feel like most of the technology nowadays is like a shortcut. And, you know, it's good because...
Speak into the mic. By the way, people, I got 3 tweets about you mumbling.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Ah! Okay. like I said, technology is kind of like a shortcut. So...
Yeah.
I mean, it's good and bad because it's good, obviously, because it's progression and it makes things easier for us. But it also, I don't know if hinder is the right word, where it like kind of, what's the word? Can't think of the word, but it makes us not as good as as we should be at certain other things. Do you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
If we want information, you used to have to walk to the library to get a book and, you know, figure out how to skim through chapters and find the information and then remember that information. Now you can just Google it and it's right there. So it's like you take away those skills of like going out and getting what you need because it's all right here in your hand.
Yeah.
So that it's like it's good and bad because you don't learn certain things by just having it in the palm of your hand. You know what I mean?
That, I mean, I love that you said that because that is exactly what I wanted to kind of get into. And all joking aside, it's what I realized while tripping my balls off is what you're saying. So, okay. So yeah, there are pros and cons to the shortcut. Shortcuts, you're right. I like that you said that because I was approaching it like all shortcuts are bad and that's not necessarily true.
No, yeah. I mean, they're obviously good. It's progression, you know? I mean, it depends what it is. Obviously, like doing shrooms, progression, like not really. I mean, it's just like a...
I mean, yes
and
no.
It's a shortcut, yeah. I mean, yeah, you're right.
Because
yeah.
It can open you to energies and things you've never seen.
Right.
But then you're shot back into reality and you have to learn how to incorporate those things while still being in your physical body. But what's interesting, it's like you're saying, let's take the internet. You know, you can now just go on your phone and Google something and find out the answer to something immediately instead of having to read like two books to get that same answer.
Right.
You go to Wikipedia and just have it.
Now you have no idea how to study. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, if it's all right there, you just Google everything. Like, it's all right there.
But it also, you know, quickens other things because you got that information quicker. You can do something with it quicker.
Right. But it could also handicap people and, you know, make it so like everything that you've ever wanted came so easy, so you have no idea how to like work for something. You know what I mean?
Well, that's why there has to be a balance of it. And the thing that I realized while I was that high was, that's why I was saying, I was like, suppression is necessary. Suppression is good. Because without some things resisting and holding back, we would be going too fast. Do you know what I mean? Like, resistance in some ways are good. We label things as good and bad. And I get why, because pain, we don't like the truth that pain exists. You know, we don't want to feel discomfort. We don't want to feel pain. But pain is there for a reason. And what I was experiencing while I was under is how life is almost like, think of it like a battery where you have a positive and negative, and you need both for that battery to work. And that's what I was experiencing almost. I felt like I was the energy inside of a battery going back and forth between the positive and the negative. And it wasn't good or bad. Both were needed. But what was so tough in that experience was feeling all that ugly stuff that we experience in life, how necessary it was hard to accept.
I don't think pain is necessary. I think it's inevitable. It's part of, you know, we do everything we can to not feel pain and be positive or whatever. But I think that, you know, there's always going to be bad things that happen. There's always going to be pain. So it's kind of inevitable. I don't think it's necessarily necessary. Necessarily necessary. Here we go.
I think you need to feel the pain and learn how to cope with it to realize it's not necessary.
Forever, though, I think you can have certain experiences that you do have pain and it makes you realize how good is. So you can try to make yourself stay there. You know what I mean? So if you cut all the negative people out of your life and, you know, you keep a positive mindset, blah, 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 then even when bad things happen to you, you don't really notice it because you're always looking at the positive from it.
Absolutely. But what I'm saying is, don't you think that you had to experience the negative in order to know it's not what you want to experience anymore?
I don't think you have to, but I think more often times than not, that's the case.
But think about a kid who never had to go through a struggle or tough times.
That doesn't mean he'll turn out a certain way. I don't think you need struggle. I think,
do you think,
like
maybe,
I said,
maybe you just need the skills to know. Maybe because if
you
have
just
great
need the
parents,
self-awareness to know, you know what I mean? You don't have to. Some people, they need a kick in the ass, like, you just went bankrupt, like, now what? You know what I mean? So it's like you were winning this whole time and you just kind of, you know, blew everything off because you were like, dude, everything's so easy, like, whatever. And then you get a kick in the ass. But maybe you're one of those people that you've been winning this whole time, but it's because you have that mindset, like, I know how to do everything. I know, like, I know what this is worth and how good I have it, blah, blah, blah. And like, they'll never go down because they have that mindset. So it's like they never had that struggle, but they also never slacked off because they knew what it takes to, you know, be wherever the hell they want to be. So, I mean, I think more often times than not, you do need a struggle or a kick in the ass or whatever. But I don't think it's like you have to. I don't think everyone, like, that's like telling everyone, like, you're going to have something traumatic happen to you and then you're going to realize what you have. That's almost saying, like, in a relationship, you don't know what you have till it's gone. So you need your boyfriend to leave you in order to understand that you want him. You know what I mean? It's like you don't need that.
So it's like it depends on your mentality. Some yeah. people do need it because they're not appreciating. But right. if you're already appreciating, you might not need that kick in the ass.
You just need to know how good you have it while you have it. You know what I mean?
Interesting. So,
it's,
yeah,
like,
it's like
me
living...
now, right? Like me now, like the YouTube thing and my job, like I know how good I have it. But if I didn't, then I just would kind of like show up to work late and just kind of not work hard and like, because like, yo, I got it, like whatever. Like, and then on YouTube, I'm just putting out shitty shit and like, eventually you're going to fall off. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But if I'm just like, fuck it. I got all these views, like blah, blah, blah. But like, I'm not doing that. But like, let's say I did that. Then I would fall off. Then I'd be like, fuck, I actually have to work even when you're up, even when you're winning. So it's like, you know, you just have to have that mentality.
I mean, I love what you're saying. It's kind of like saying why you should always live in a state of appreciation. I've always said when you can always be appreciative, the universe will give you more to be grateful for, you know?
I'm sorry, but a lot of people say that. I don't even think it's the universe that like gives back to you. I think it's you just realizing what you have. And it just feels like the universe is giving you things. But it's like,
well,
you
they say,
already
but,
have it. And it's just like it's in your... like timeline, like, this is what is supposed to happen. It's like your future is kind of like a reaction to your present and past. So it's like you set this up for yourself. So it's not the universe. It's not anyone giving you anything. You're making it happen for yourself. You know
but
what I mean?
You know what the spiritual people say? They say that you are the universe, which is what you're saying.
Right.
It's that you are that. Instead of seeing the universe as external, which is what I sometimes do, it's actually you. You are creating your own universe, which is actually yeah. what... It's so funny because even though you're not as into spirituality, I do that in quotes, whatever that means, as I am, like the reading of it, all of the concepts that you're saying fall right in line with exactly what they're trying to say. Like, you get it, mm-hmm. you know? So it's really interesting. The only time we've really disagreed is when you say it's okay to hit kids. That's the only time that I'm like, eh. But no, you're saying... You're putting it into such... great words. It's like, because, you know, like I've always said with my car accident that happened, I do think that was a way to smack me and wake me up because I wasn't appreciating certain things. I wasn't awake to certain things. So it is about self-awareness. And the way that people, when you read like a spiritual book, the way they describe it, which is how you were saying it, is that think of life kind of being like a tide or like an ocean. It all, your choice is how you're going to ride it, you know? So do you get what I'm saying? The comparison of what you were saying? Yeah. So it's like, are you going to surf it, you know, and just make the best of it? Or are you going to fight the water? And when you fight it, it feels a lot more choppy. And then it feels like the waves are smacking up against you.
Right.
You know, and that's when it would feel like, you know, oh, you're not appreciating this YouTube stuff. Here's a wave smacking you. You know, now get back up on that surfboard. But if you're continuously staying on that surfboard and trying to ride it, no matter what comes your way, you're going to have a more pleasant experience with life. So I like exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. But yeah, like I was saying, there's, you know, certain people that just don't need that because they either had great parents or they just have some great mentality and they never, you know, they always knew what it took, like hard work and everything. You know what I mean? So they just never slacked off and just kind of took everything for granted. That's another thing. A lot of people take things for granted, like everyday things. And a lot of people only focus on negative shit. So it feels like they have nothing because they have like two things that are going wrong in their life. But they have all this shit that's going on that's good for them. But they focus on those two things. But that's only going to make it worse when you focus on negative shit like that. It's like when you wake up in the morning and stub your toe, the rest of your day is fucked because yeah. you're in a bad mood already. Now you're late for work. Now... the littlest thing that goes wrong at work is a huge deal to you just because you're in that bad mood. It's like, oh, everything's just piling on. And then you get home and you beat your wife. You
it's
know?
So interesting. No, but it's true. Everything you're saying is so true. And I think I'm learning, you know, as positive of a person as I seem and I try to be, I think I still have a tendency at times to focus on the negative accidentally, because I think it's something that was accidentally developed when I was a kid.
You're a very emotional person.
Oh, I'm very, I'm one of the most
so
emotional
if you're
people.
In an upset mood, it's like you're completely thrown off.
Tim says, he'll be like, everything's so permanent with you. So if I'm in a bad mood, it seems like the world, like the sky is falling down, you know? Mm-hmm. Like it's hard to remember that it's just my mood and everything's actually okay. It's the same if I get sick, if I get the flu, I am convinced it's the end. I am dying. Which is probably why it's such a bad, you know, time with the weed. Like when I went into that state, I was like, well, this is it. I'm gone. I'm skyrocketing through the cosmos for the rest of my life, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying before. Like, you probably just made it a lot worse, because not only are you an emotional person, and like you said, when you get sick, it's like, oh, God, this is forever. But you also now have all this knowledge about all this fucking weird spiritual shit about fucking owls flying around when, you know, you see Jesus' eyes or whatever. And, like, that just makes it 10 times worse, because that's all you're thinking about in that state. You're not in your completely sober, balanced state. So you're like, once you're like a little bit thrown off, it's fucking, you know.
I'm off.
Yeah, you're
yeah.
done.
Well, that's, I mean, Tim was saying, because, you know, he reads all about this stuff. You know, he knows about, he's looked into Jesus's eyes. But.
He's looked at Jesus, so.
But. He knows how to balance himself in that state still. He knows how to gain the focus and get right back there.
Right.
I don't. I just flew off.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, you're aware of that, and yet you still can't.
Because I think it's one thing to know. Like, okay, you know all those cute quotes and memes on Facebook? It's one thing to know and believe that those things are true. Like, you know, if you fall, just get back up. But that doesn't mean when you actually fall, it doesn't hurt like a bitch. Right. I mean, I think that's the point of living is, yeah, you might hear the lesson, but you have to actually live it and experience it and get through it to really know it.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I know that when I get emotional, I take things personally a lot. You know, like if someone's in a bad mood, I won't just be like, oh, they're in a bad mood. Has nothing to do with me. I'll take it in. Like, oh, my God, what am I doing that's making them feel like that? Why don't they like me? And a lot of it, I think, did stem from I had a pretty rough childhood. You know, when I lived, my parents were divorced and I had two households, one with my mom. My mom was very suffocating, very bad boundaries. So I had to consciously be aware of my surroundings in order to not feel engulfed, in a sense, almost by like fire is what it felt like there. And then at my dad's, you know, it was my dad and my stepmom. And that was almost like a, okay, you know, don't upset anyone. Make sure, I almost felt like I was tiptoeing around everyone's emotions. So in both environments, I felt like I had to be super aware of my environment and couldn't just be myself. And I think that's why I take things personally. I'm just always aware of what someone else is feeling and trying not to upset them. And if they are upset, it must have something to do because I set them off. So that's like something
why
I'm trying to unlearn.
Blame yourself for shit like that?
Because when you're a little kid and you're in a pretty crazy environment, you don't mean to develop those. They're defense mechanisms that you create in order to survive an environment like that.
I suppose.
You know?
I mean, my biggest thing when I was growing up was, like, don't feel sorry for yourself. Like, don't, like, if I'm upset about something, I'm not going to, like, be upset and just sulk around. Like, I'm not going to feel sorry for myself because I know so many people have it worse than I do. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, but we've already discussed that you're this freak of nature that came out just super balanced and chilled out somehow, unless you're finding a parking spot for 30 minutes.
Oh,
then
fuck
it,
that.
Then it gets thrown off. But for the most part, you're very, very centered. You know, that's not,
I don't think I was
I'm
born
trying
though. I'm
to try- get
I,
there.
I mean, I'm trying to figure out why or how I was.
Is everyone in your family as centered as you?
Not at all.
Interesting.
Maybe none of them. I'm always the one that is like the peacemaker. A lot people, I don't want to talk, or I'm just going to freak out, leave the house, or I'm just going to sit there and badger you until you are upset or whatever. And I'm always the one just sitting there like, I'm going to have this argument. I'm not going to raise my voice. I'm going to talk to you. And you're going to be fucking wrong. Like, that's just the mindset that I have. Because even when I was younger, like, growing up, I always felt like I know the right answers. Like, I always felt like that. Like, I have the right answer. And Like, that's that. Like, I could care less how old you are or whatever. Like, I never responded well to authority ever. Like, I'm always like, all right, I know. Don't worry about it. Like, you don't have to. It was funny. My dad actually told me that in fifth grade, he came in for parent-teacher conference, and my teacher told him, she's like, watch out for this one. He's got it all figured out. And my dad always brings that up to me. He's like, I remember your fucking teacher said that to me or whatever. But, yeah, because a lot of people.
But look, I mean, you kind of do. Listen, I'm not trying to put you on a pedestal. I'm not.
Right.
But what I mean when I say you kind of do have it all figured out, you know, you don't know everything.
No one
ever knows everything.
I just know when. You know what it is? I think I'm just really good at arguments. I'm really good at arguments because obviously when you live in a household with the people that I live with, there's six of us and a lot of different personalities. Some people are in your face. Some people are just to themselves. And you have to have arguments growing up with these people your whole life. So it's a lot of different things that I have to deal with. Also, a lot of my friends have different personalities as well. So when you deal with all that, it's like I got a lot of practice. So I kind of know how everyone's going to react to certain things. And being born in Queens, which is like the most diverse place on the planet, you're also open to a lot of different like religions and cultures or whatever. And I went to an elementary school where like there was a bunch of different religions, and then middle school it was like primarily like Black and Spanish kids, and then I went to high school and it was just like all white kids. So it was like I was completely, I'm all over the place. I'm like the UN, you know what I mean? So I know how to deal with everyone kind of separately, and I was always that person that would listen to whatever you had to say. Like even still today, my friends, like if they have something going on, they know that they can like ask me about it or whatever. So I think I just got good at arguments.
It almost reminds me of like, you know, The Matrix with Neo when he's like, you know, it sounds like you have all these things going on around you and you know how to stay centered while those like you don't get swept up
right
into those things, which is what I think true spiritual mastery actually is there's chaos, there are things that the waves are crashing around you and you're knowing how to not get swept in or under, you know, you're just kind of surfing it. And that's what reminds me of Neo in The Matrix, is it's another kind of surfing where things are going on and he knows how to, you know, like block all the punches.
And I think it's very easy to do. I just think you need to give yourself time that when you do get very upset or angry or even happy or whatever emotion, if it's a lot, you just have to, you know, realize what the hell's going on. You can't just like take it like I'm gonna run with this right now.
No, I agree, but it's such a challenge for me. I'm a fire sign. I'm not saying all fire signs have this challenge.
The fuck is a fire sign?
I'm Aries. So Aries, I'm very fiery. Like I'm a fiery person, and when I get in a mode, it's just like, whew, like I just burn so quickly, and then I come back down to reality. So it's very, I'm such an emotional being. It's hard to stay grounded in those moments. When something upsets me, I just go there. I've gotten a lot better. Tim has helped me a lot. I mean, in the beginning, there were a lot of fights, you know, but because he points out to me every time that I'm being like that, even if it's not fun for me, it's allowed me to see and work on that of like not just exploding in the moment of trying to ground myself. But it's really hard for me.
I think it also comes from...
That's Frank. That's Frank right there.
Frank, yeah. Your evil personality.
Not evil, fiery.
Fiery,
very fiery.
I think it also comes from being exposed to a bunch of different people. Like, my whole life, I've always had not a ton of friends. Like, I have, like, 13 really close friends. But I've always been cool with, like, everyone in school and like, you know, just trying to like whatever. And then knowing that many people, it's like when you do something that affects all the people that you know, you know what I mean? So it's kind of, you see how everyone reacts to everything. So it's like if you grew up and you only were with only white kids or only Jewish kids or only Black, it's like you only know how those kids react. You know what I mean? You don't know how everyone else reacts to how you're going to, what you're going to say. Like, so you're not really sure, like, how your words are going to affect certain people. You know what I mean? So I think also being exposed to that many people, you know, helps also. Because now I know I can't say this in front of this person. And I'm not saying, like, curse words or shit like that. Like, I'm saying, like, anything, really. Like, I know how people are going to react to this if I say this. Like, if I started being all cocky and shit, then I know how people are going to react to that. Some people are going to think it's like, cool, like, yeah, he's the man. But and then other people are going to be like, you're fucking dumb. Like, you're corny. You know what I mean? Like, I know how, like, yeah, there's complete opposite sides of the spectrum. You kind of want to stay in the middle, which I'm kind of already at anyway because of, you know, I don't know.
I mean, it's also interesting. It's really come through in your career. You're super young for how much success you have and how much drive you have. And it's funny, like, once again, when I, you know, you and I are so funny as like a team together, you know, because you're so chilled out while you watch me freak out like, Joe, we got to rewrite the script. Joe, we got to tweet it out. And you just stay focused the whole time. And Tim always teases me about it. He's like, I love watching you dance, you know, and get all worked up while Joe just stays his calm self. And Tim will say to me, he'll be like, Joe obviously knows what he's doing. You know, like, he's really successful.
I'm good at pretending.
No, but I mean, you know what I'm saying. You have carved your own path here. No one handed these things to you. You worked for them. So it's just funny. You know, you really have found your way. And it's just interesting in our dynamic. I'm like, Joe, you didn't do this. You didn't do that. And you're just like, all right, Kate. All right. You don't get swept up into when I'm feeling dramatic or whatever. You never get swept up into my own tsunami of emotions.
No, if I feed into that, forget about it. Because then I know that's going to spiral into an argument. And even if it doesn't spiral into an argument, it might hit you like one day, like, oh, why did he say that? And then, you know, then one day I'm going to say something on the podcast and you're going to be like, why did he say that? Now that's two things. Now it's building up. Now we're not going to fucking, like, it's a whole fucking chain reaction.
Girls hold in emotions way more than guys. We hold in things and let them fester.
I know emotional people too, that even when I'm around and someone says something to them, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have said that, because I know how they're going to react. Like, even if they don't react, I know that they didn't like that. You know what I mean? I could feel that, like, oh, don't say that. Like, you know what I mean? And and you're one of those people that if you said something, like right now in the car, when you're like, just get here. And I was like, I can't fucking get there just now. I know that.
Build a transporter.
I know that for a second you were like, what a fucking asshole. Like, even.
No, I didn't. No, but I felt bad because I was like.
Even if you got upset, like, I shouldn't have said that. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's not like. But there's certain people that I would say that to and they would just like laugh. Like, it's funny. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of the. I was just being funny. But I know that people like you who are like emotional and just like, you know,
sensitive.
Whatever. Yeah, if I said something like that, you're like, I shouldn't have said that. Or what a fucking dick. I was just
no, I definitely. So Joe was trying to find a parking spot. I was like, I got here crazy early, like I always do, because I'm neurotic about that stuff. And Joe was trying to find parking because they're like, there's street cleaning going on. It's really tough right now to find a parking spot. And I had a parking spot across the street that I saw that I was like, there's a parking spot right here. Get here. And he's like, I can't just get here.
No, you're like, oh, it's over here. Just come here. I was like, all right, cool. I'm on 79th Broadway or whatever. Then there was an awkward silence for like 20 seconds. She goes, when are you going to get here? I was like, I can't just fucking get there, Kate. Like, I'll have to drive the car in traffic.
We talked and then we hung up. And then I called you like 5 minutes later. And I was like, where are you? And you were like, and at that point, because you were like, oh, now I'm on 79th. I'm like, how the fuck did you get on 79th?
Had to go up and around, bro.
Whatever. Anyway, yeah, but it reminds me of the Gen Y topic. You haven't put out the video, but of when girls go like, I'm fine. When guys can always tell when a girl's not fine and when she's brewing, you know? Mm. It's not even just about the saying, I'm fine. I think people often can pick up when someone's not okay or when they're feeling a certain thing. It's mm-hmm. just about whether that person wants to actually deal with it.
Right.
So if a girl goes, oh, I'm fine. A guy knows all the time that we're not actually fine. They just sometimes are like, well, I don't want to deal with this person's emotions. If they're going to say they're fine, I'm going to use this as an excuse to not deal with it.
Right.
People always know when someone's not okay. And if you don't know, then you're numb. You've numbed yourself somehow. So
some people are good at it. But I pride myself on knowing that when someone's.
So if Sammy said to you, I'm fine, and you knew she wasn't.
It would depend how she would say it. Honestly, also the context, like, I don't know, she would just have to say it, and I would have to see where, you know what I mean? And I would just be like, oh, okay, no, you're not. Like, you know what I mean? I'd be like, no shot.
But would you dig it out of her? Like, if she said, I'm fine, and you knew she wasn't, would you be like, no, let's sit down and talk. I want you to be okay.
I would ask her, I mean, I'm good with that. Like, I'll if it's me, I'll know it's me. You know what I mean? If I did something wrong, I'll know it's me. If it's something that's going on with her, then and she keeps insisting that she's okay, then I'll be like, listen, if it's like a personal thing, that's fine. But, you know, if you want to talk about it, like, I want to talk about it. I was like, I know you're not completely whatever, but I'll also keep my distance while letting her know, like, I will.
I'm here for you
I'm
if you
here,
need me.
Like, whatever you need, but I'm also respecting the fact that you don't want to talk about it right now, and maybe we'll bring it up at another time.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the whole police stuff that's going on.
I'm sick to my stomach about that. I was really, I was at work yesterday, and I was furious because I had heard about it, and forgot about it, and then I saw a video yesterday of people marching through the streets chanting, "What do we want? Dead cops." When do
that,
we want
I didn't
it now?
Even see that.
They were chanting, "What do we want? Dead cops." And then I also saw...
You saw that on the news or
I
in
saw
person?
That, I saw that on a YouTube video when I was at work. Then I also saw this person that I was Facebook friends and fucking unfriended them as fast as I could after this. But she posted a video of these police trying to capture a dog, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And they were trying it with the pole with the hoop around it. And they were trying to get it in the car. And the dog was being, it was like resisting. It was such a weird word. But it was like, it was resisting. Like, and it was like whatever. And then like it cuts off camera and you can hear it like growling. And it sounded like he tried to bite the officer or whatever. And long story short, they shot the dog dead.
Oh.
Right? So that's terrible. They shot the dog. I don't know the protocol for, you know, what with dogs and police officers or whatever. I don't think you should ever shoot a dog. I think it's fucking terrible. Like, it's a dog, you just punch it in the face or something,
or tase it maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know
man. But this girl posted, "These stupid fucking power hungry cunts, they all deserve to die. I hope every cop dies."
Oof.
And I fucking was like, who the fuck are you gonna call when you are in trouble? Like, these people are risking that. Of course, there are some bad cops. There are bad cops who are racist. There are bad cops who are power hungry and they just have a power trip and they just abuse their power and that do shady shit. And there are crooked cops. But that does not mean that all cops are bad people.
To make a generalization about a large group of people, it's racist.
It is.
Whether, you know, racist or whatever the word would be
People are fighting racism with racism right now. It's insane.
It's ridiculous. But you know what? The news outlets are not helping. I was watching the news. I went to like a cafe and they had the news on and it said like major divide, you know, and like they're not.
There is, though.
No, but they're not. Listen, they could say something like the news outlets never help to calm people down. There needs to be, you know, news anchors or whatever, you know, or just in general, like a whole, like Fox, they should have an overall thing. Like, let's try to diffuse this by reminding people we're all on the same team. We're all united, you know, like it cannot be cops versus civilians. It's supposed to be protecting.
How it is. I know,
it's supposed to be. And yes, let me say something. There are a bunch of bad power hungry cops out there. Absolutely. And what I think happened with Mike Brown, disgusting. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I think it's gross, and I think that stuff needs to stop, and there needs to be awareness. And I'm also still for peaceful protests, like the New York City police officer, what was it, the commissioner or whatever, he went on and said the blood of those two cops are on the protesters' hands. I totally disagree. I think peaceful protesting is always okay. That would have been like, you know, back when Martin Luther King was around, you know, if two white dudes got shot, them blaming Martin Luther King. Like,
no,
peaceful protests
thinking.
Are always okay.
Everyone's just in panic mode. It's like the first thing that comes to their mind they're going to say. And it's like, you know what it is also? A lot of unintelligent people and uneducated people just feel like they're a part of something now when they say fuck the police. And they feel like they're a part of something and relevant. There was a clip of this girl on Fox News who was like, "Yeah, man, fuck Darren Wilson, all this shit." And the reporter asked her like, "Why do you think this is like a white versus black thing and not a bad cop versus a person thing?" And she had no answer. Like, she just knew, like, I'm going to say fuck the police because that's, like, what everyone's saying. And, like, I'm part of this team now. You know what I mean? Like, that was just her shit. It was so annoying to watch. And I also, like, I thought Darren Wilson was wrong. I think the dude who choked out Eric Garner was wrong. I think they're both wrong. I think the dude who shot the two cops was wrong. And I think that, you know, that all these people that are chanting dead cops are wrong. I think all those people are wrong. Like,
I mean, absolutely. First of all,
but here's what I wanted to say.
Okay,
you
sorry,
can't
go.
Judge, like, it's easy to say from an outside perspective, he should have tased him, or he shouldn't have choked him, or he shouldn't have shot him, or whatever. None of us were there. We don't know what happened. The Eric Garner case, we watched it. That was wrong.
It was sickening.
I'm not talking about that because we saw it and we were wrong. The Darren Wilson thing, we weren't there. It's easy to say he should have tased him, or, you know, all these other, not just these, because there's a bunch of, you know, black people who are getting shot by cops for no reason. You know what I mean? All the time.
But here's the thing we don't experience, you know, is that, you know, it's not just black people. I'm sure it's like a lot of people just in low income places. They are experiencing this shit, this control thing with the cops, you know, of getting shot, innocent people getting shot all the time. So they're experiencing this. They're living this world. So I understand why they're so fed up. I still right. think it's wrong to say, like, you know, we want all cops dead. That's not cool.
Killing a cop is
but
only going to make
people,
it worse. Make
let
it worse.
Me tell you something. Most of the people that I know on Facebook that are doing the peaceful protest are not happy those two cops are dead.
No, right.
Most people are not okay with anyone dying.
Yeah.
That's why they're fighting for rights, because
right.
they've seen a lot of their loved ones, or, you know, not even loved ones, people in their neighborhood, or they know that these people are dying because the cops are abusing their power.
Yeah, killing
they don't want the cops dead. They just want to stop, you know, themselves being discriminated right. against and
killing
murdered.
Killing cops is only going to make them more nervous, more paranoid, and more trigger happy. So it's like you're just digging the hole deeper. You know
but it was
I mean?
Only. But here's the thing: it was only one random guy who came and shot these cops. Like
that's
he doesn't
only the
represent.
Beginning of that,
but he doesn't represent.
No, he does
most
not represent.
People.
No, he does not represent all. But he does represent a group of people that are radical and think that this is the thing to do. Because there was a lot of feedback on that, where some people were like, "Oh, he's you know he salute God bless that guy." Like, you know, he's starting whatever. Like people.
Well, those people. Whoever's
no, right,
backing up any of the violence, whether it's by the cops or by people hurting cops, that's not the solution. The solution is to stand together and remember that none of us, all of us, want freedom in whatever way that is. You know what
yeah.
I mean? And we want police officers who are actually going to protect us and look out for us. We don't want power-hungry fucks who are abusing it and, you know, killing people.
Yeah, and what I was also going to say was... it's easy from an outside perspective for say he shouldn't tase him, he shouldn't shot. But you're in that moment, you don't. It's like you react totally differently. Like think about any situation you've been in your life where afterwards you're like, oh, I should have done that or whatever. Or it's easy to say while you're watching a football game, oh, why didn't he throw to that guy? You know what I mean? Because you're not in that situation and you don't know like how to. It's like to react on the spot is so much different than
I
just
hear
being
what you're
an
saying, but when you're a cop and you have people's lives, it's the one thing to be a football player, right? You might blow the game, but when you blow the game as a cop, that's a life at
it's
stake.
It's still choices. It's I'm making a
no, I get it, but what I'm saying is I get what you're saying, but like to make the kind of mistake with Eric Garner, do you know what I mean? That's inexcusable. You shouldn't be a cop then.
Right.
You know, like if it's someone's life.
I don't think the guy who was choking him had the intent to kill him. I do think he wanted to knock him out, though. Like, I think he wanted to knock him out.
Unnecessarily
knock him out. He was wrong for that. I don't think he started choking him with the intent of, I'm going to kill this guy right now. I don't think that. I think that he was choking him because he thought, fuck this guy. Like, he's just being an asshole. I'm just going to choke the daylights out of him. And
that
like,
guy
I don't
should
give a
not
shit.
Be a police officer. That kind of guy needs to have, I mean, obviously his badge is taken away now, I hope. But like people like that who are going to abuse their power in any kind of way should not be a police officer. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have to wrap up and feed our meters.
Yeah.
We can maybe even get into this more in another. This issue is going to obviously be going on for a while. So
yeah.
Maybe we'll touch on it in the next episode. But if you want to follow me, you can find me on Twitter at @TheKateWolf. And like I said before, Tim and I are now offering numerology and tarot readings over Skype as well. So if you would like one, you can email me invasionofprivacypodcast@gmail.com. You can also email any stuff you want to tell me because I love reading your emails.
And if you guys want to find me, I'm on Twitter @JoeSanegato. And thank you for listening.
Bye.